What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Supply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the Royals dropped game one, as we know, yesterday, the Yankees 10-2. Jack Caglione ended up in his final at-bat getting his first hit at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals will send Chris Bubich to the bump tonight. Vern's on deck show at 5:30 here on 96.5 The Fan.
Clark Schmidt will be on the other side for the New York Yankees. Hopefully a better result tonight for the Royals. Next up on What's Trending, Jim Harbaugh said that he had a cardiac ablation and hip surgery. Says the doctors say he's A-OK to go. This is actually one of the things that's funny about the division and Andy Reid. It's always like, Andy Reid's old. He might retire whenever. Like, these other guys aren't having hip surgery. Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton. This is not the youngest group of coaches that exist in the AFC West right now. Good to know Harbaugh's okay. He'll be back on the sidelines for the Chargers, I'm sure, in no time.
NBA Finals continue tonight. Game 3. This one is back in Indy, though. Series tied a game apiece. The Pacers, 5-point dogs this evening. 7:30 tip-off. Cash out, bro. We'll be sweating this one as well. We shall see.
Drew.
Drew will as well.
He didn't
well.
Have any money on it.
No. Well, he might. I don't know. Maybe he does.
No, I never bet on the teams that I root for.
Okay. All right.
I do not hold that same.
That's a good thing. That's probably saved you some money, honestly.
Specs got that rule, I think, at least for the Chiefs as it relates to
it. I mean, if he was betting on Cincinnati the last couple of years, automatic losing seasons.
If you bet on Burrow or Chase, though, you've probably been cashing in.
Their props got too high.
We should have gotten you in the building tonight, Drew. Looks like you could get in for $656.
Oh, perfect. Really? It's dipped down a little bit.
Just go ahead and just fly out
that's
there
not
real
bad.
Quick, you know?
Yeah. $656 with seats. For $20,000, we can get you row 2.
Hell yeah.
You get in with sweat. We need a lot of heroes. $965. What's that at $20,000? How many people do we need to get Drew there?
I would have to leave right now to get there in time.
Worth it.
Well, you get on a flight. Get on a flight.
Just 2,000 heroes. No big deal.
2,000.
A lot of people listen to this show. I've been told it's very popular.
So we hear, yes.
That's what the word on the street is. Next up, except for with Carrington. Next up
that's
on
true. Yeah, we're going to get back to that.
We'll talk about more of this in just a little bit, but the NCAA making a good change. In our opinion, coaches' challenges coming to college basketball. They can now challenge at any point in the game out-of-bounds calls, basket interference, and goaltending, and whether a secondary defender was in the restricted area. But more importantly, they are also convening a committee to try to figure out how to speed up the end of college basketball games because they realize maybe the end of college basketball games stink and aren't fun. Please, for the regular season, just give me the Elam ending. For the regular season, it's fine. In the postseason, it can play like normal. But in the regular season, it makes the most sense when you're talking about 30, 35 games a year. You can end them in a much more fun game-winning shot time every time.
There also is more news that they could be going to quarters. They're apparently talking about that as well.
That,
The quarters thing should be a simple switch.
Yes.
It alleviates the foul problems you run into late in games. I don't necessarily think they need to switch to an Elam ending. I think a lot of this gets solved by now you're not going to have every player doing the little challenge
Twirly
thing because the coaches can challenge. And if you go to quarters, then you don't have the issue of everybody going to the line for the final 7 minutes of the freaking game. So due to foul trouble. So I'm all about it. I like this. This would be a very good thing, I think, for college basketball. Lastly on What's Trending, according to TMZ, Joey Chestnut is in talks to return to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Remember, has anyone talked to Bink?
He did his own thing last year because of dispute. I believe Bink has actually called in. Quickly, because if there's anybody that's on the
Batman signal, bat signal.
If you say Joey Chestnut, he's got like a pager. He has a pager still, and the pager goes off if someone says Joey Chestnut, and it automatically calls up him and the station. Bink is on with us right now to talk Chestnut.
This is one of the biggest stories to hit the sports landscape. To be honest with you, I don't know if many people realize he's won 16 mustard belts. That means he's been the champion for 16 years.
That's right.
Now, last year, he had an issue with Nathan's, or Major League Eating, not Nathan's, because he endorsed a different hot dog, and he wasn't in the contest, and it didn't seem real. I mean, the 4th of July, you wake up, you see the hot dog eating contest on ESPN from Coney Island, you shoot fireworks, you celebrate America, you go out into the clubhouse of the Royals and everything, they watch Joey Chestnut. Guy is one of the most amazing athletes of all time. He once took down, I think, 120 Twinkies as well in 10 minutes. The sport needs him. You know, this is like one of the greatest not play. It's like Aaron Judge saying, I don't want to play baseball anymore. No, hot dog eating needs Joey Chestnut, and this is some of the best news that I've heard, guys. This is a major sports story, and hopefully this will be scrolling across ESPN later today.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Bink. That's Bink. Anytime we talk Chestnut, direct line to Jay Binkley. That is what's trending. Wow. Okay.
You know, Binkley's a big Joey Chestnut guy.
Oh, that's his guy. From day one.
Yeah, Binkley's been on he's been on the hot dog beat for longer than anyone I know.
The hot dog beat.
Jay Binkley, I can't confirm it. He might be the first person that ever saw Joey Chestnut eat wieners. It might be the first person.
Who won the qualifier this past weekend?
In old Shawnee days?
Good question. Wasn't there a qualifier this weekend?
There was.
Who won the qualifier?
I'm going to guess they ate 25 hot dogs. Whoever won. 25 is the number, I'm guessing.
Let's see if we can find this answer real quick. MajorLeagueEating.com.
Well, I want to know who won.
Events. Here we go.
Top dog, two qualifiers.
Well, there's a bunch of other events. This is from June 7th.
Dvorak
29 and a half.
And Jocelyn Young are both heading to Coney Island. Wow. The male and female hot dog. 29 and a half and 11.25 dogs, respectively, for the
10 minutes. They had 10 minutes to do it. Unlimited hot dogs, two tickets to Coney Island. Yeah. 29. Now this is bad. So the guy that finished in second had 25. That's the, you feel miserable and you were 4.5 off the pace.
What second finish? 11.25 doesn't seem that much for the female qualifier. What's the female winner?
The numbers are down quite a bit. Usually in the women's competition hot dog eating. Yeah. Even if you look at like the best,
should we get a ladybug situation, slap a wig on you, Gold, and see if you can't eat 11.5 hot dogs in a qualifier. Your 5 o'clock shadow comes in too quick. We need someone with a much cleaner face or laser hair removal in order to win this thing, you know?
Yeah, I'll go and pass.
Do you think you could eat 11 and a half? I don't even think you could.
11 and a half hot dogs in 10 minutes? No. Could you?
No.
The record.
In 10 minutes?
No. The record for the Nathan.
Disrespect to the pros. I would never say that.
The current world record for a woman in the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest is 51.
Yeah, but if you compare it to the men's one, Mickey, it's still
so
like 20.
She gets to go to Coney Island after eating 11?
The record broke her previous record of 48.5.
Because if you've watched the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, there's like two or three people that are at the top, and then there's a huge gap from everybody. It's not like Joey Chestnut does 75 and everybody's 72, 71, 68. No, it's like 75, 50, 32. It's a huge drop off usually.
I'm glad we got Bink's take on it. Honestly, I'd feel wrong talking about the hot dog contest without Bink's. Honest to God take.
So you think, text line wants to know, on this show, do you think you could take down the most glizzies?
In like 10 minutes, you mean?
I think Drew could, actually.
I'd get too sick to my stomach, I think, from just, if I had to eat fast, like my stomach density is not there where I would have 4 or 5 probably and just be done. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Like when you go to a baseball game, how like even if you have it for a whole game, how many dogs do you normally eat?
Like 2.
Yeah, same. Yeah, but if I give you 10 minutes, 6.
I think 10 minutes.
I mean, last night,
6 seems reasonable.
I'm not willing to push. As soon as you start to feel something, I'm not willing to push past that.
I'm just more
to continue.
Last night, you can ask Dusty. It was Dollar Dog Night. They delivered. They brought two of them out quickly, and two of them were probably gone in 6 minutes. But I got a problem. I got a 10 times.
But
that.
The water's going to help you.
Yeah.
Speed.
That
you
got to
do that if you're going to eat them fast, man.
Yeah, that's gross, though.
Of course that's gross.
Rob had a hot dog take from last night at the game, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw him tweet that.
No, I didn't.
Rob said that he thinks the 9-for-9 challenge is the dumbest thing in baseball because the line takes way too long. He said he was waiting in line. Somebody bought 5 hot dogs and it took way, way too long in line. He missed part of the game.
They want to buy five hot dogs.
And he was not about it.
I mean, it was Dollar Dog Night. People are going to order more of them.
Well, he's gatekeeping how many hot dogs he's going to order on Dollar Dog Night.
He thinks people should not be allowed to order 5 at this. How much longer does it take to grab 5 hot dogs in one?
I bet if it were beers, Rob wouldn't be feeling that way. He thinks he should be able to take 5 beers back to the table. All of a sudden he can't get hot dogs.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Did you notice that Gold was on the highlight reel at the end of the Royals game last night?
Were you really?
I have no idea. Okay. Laughing and drinking something. Win. At the end of the game or just a highlight reel from the night? Okay.
Weren't many highlights.
Well, that's what they had to show me, I guess.
Show you eat a hot dog?
I guess.
No, we did not see it. If you have video of it, please.
The one thing I did see, though, I didn't know. I guess our game video is back.
Wait,
you
and I?
Not the old one, but when they came in and filmed one day, so Fesco and Dusty, us, and the drive were we were all of us were on the Jumbotron before the game yesterday. I had no idea. It was the first time I've seen it all year.
What were we saying?
It was when they came in, like we were just doing our show. It was a quick clip, like 3 seconds on the screen. But I didn't know. It caught me off guard. All of a sudden I heard Dusty talking and I looked up and
someone said these lines were 30 minutes long at the K yesterday.
Really?
That's egregious.
Oh, I'm gonna stay out of that one.
That has nothing to do with someone getting 5 hot dogs. That's an old man take. Old man take to be like, you can't order what you get back in line, sir.
Yeah.
He's spending his own money. He's allowed to buy however many hot dogs he wants. What do I care?
Carrington's blaming.
Carrington's upset with me too.
Carrington said your song stinks.
Wait, now Carrington's mad at you.
Carrington's mad at me because it's about
the
tickets.
The 9 for 9.
Carrington's got beef with this show.
Tickets? What's you're supposed to supply him tickets anytime he wants to go to a game?
I'm not sure. They were giving me a hard time about being able to go to the game
from this show. They have not tried to come say hi to us.
They're here. I saw them walk in. They're avoiding us now. They're avoiding
us. He knows what he did. He knows what he said on the show yesterday.
I mean, he called you out for your song. That's exactly what happened.
I turned that off in about 4 seconds. I turned that song off almost immediately.
I think it's also...
That's not even the worst stuff he said.
I think Rob laughing as hard as he did as well
definitely hard in the background there.
Dude, that was like a first date laugh. Like, a girl tells a joke and I was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. I'm not even sure that was a real laugh. I'm officially accusing. Oh, fake laugh.
Can we just get that drop? Can we just get Rob's laugh isolated, please? Thank you.
That's a first date laugh. You're such a cut up.
You got to sort this out.
They started this.
I think you should, during the break, you should go back there and actually confront Carrington about it.
Go out there and be like, the hell, man?
I heard that. I didn't even let him fit. You good. You got it. You know what, man?
Pass.
What's Jason Anderson talking about?
That's the line.
That's what I felt.
That's just rude. That's making it personal.
I heard that. I was like, bro, get this away from me. I don't want no parts of that song. I'll never hear that song.
Ooh. Ooh.
Hating just to hate, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm bringing that kind of energy in here.
I'll tell you right now, you should do better than me, and CDOT can come up with a better song.
I'll say this, just for starters, only the tip of the iceberg for the retribution that will come from this. Just for starters, I've been patiently waiting for Carrington to clean up his trash in here. And notice I say trash.
Yeah.
Like this is all going to his desk.
This is the clapback.
Cody is pointing the camera over there.
If you watch the video stream,
pointing the camera,
this is all going back to Carrington's desk.
What do we have over there?
First thing tomorrow, a scribbled on notepad that looks like it's a serial killer, fake glasses, dirty glasses, chewed up pens. This is out of here. That's gone. As of tomorrow morning, that's
get a trash bag. Just throw it all in a trash bag.
Yeah, honestly, if it's trash, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'd be like, I thought that was trash. I'd be like, why do you think that was trash? I mean, it's a giant loose pile of nonsense, so most people would assume trash.
The minute Cody got a text that this was said on the drive yesterday from you guys on the text line.
Yeah, I haven't been able to go all day.
It's been bugging him all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Carrington, the ticket thing, I don't know what's up with the ticket thing.
Is there any more, Cody?
You got something?
Any more?
This is where you feel like you're supposed to do the Kendrick part. God. See, that's the problem. You can't really do the most famous line from Not Like Us without giving a whole different, you can't say, hey, Dot, and then give the rest of the, you can't give the rest of the line. There'll be words, maybe in song form, seeing how he claims he'll never listen to it anyway, Someone says, did C-Dot make his own song? If not, he needs to shut up. That's what the text line said. So, wow. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You should say, and you can do better, C-Dot. That's what you should say.
You know what this is? This is the equivalent as everybody who goes to the museum and looks at world-class famous artists. Like, I could paint that, Picasso. Yeah, I'm sure you could. Get a canvas and a brush. Start working on it.
Go for it.
You know?
All right.
That was bad. That was good.
All right, it is the lunch hour here on Cody and Gold. Remind you, our friends over at Jefferson's have a brand new happy hour. It is here to save you some money. 7 days a week, enjoy half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa, Jefferson's North KC. Half off your bar tab, man, at both locations. You can't beat that. Not to mention Monday, all-day happy hour. They have the same great deals during the reverse happy hour, 7 days a week. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters.
Let's talk a little bit about the Royals last night. I think specifically something you and I are kind of at our end on. We'll talk about Jazz Chisholm here again in a minute. But the idea that every time it seems like right now where it feels like they're getting a little bit of momentum gold, that's where we run into the problem where when a big crowd shows up, the Royals don't perform. But specifically against the Yankees. I'm tired of the Yankees. And I'm waiting, and I keep waiting most of the season. I still think, or I'm optimistic, that we'll turn that page on it. I continue to keep waiting for the moment where everything turns on. Like the faucet turns on, the fans are out there, the offense clicks for more than two games, three games, and they score regularly along with the starting pitching rolling for a minute, and this team goes on another run like they did earlier this year, in fairness. And wins 10 of 12 in the style we think they should be now that they've got another bat in their order. Because honestly, they should be significantly better with the deepening of the lineup of Jack Caglione. I'm not saying one man can save it, but they are a much better lineup with him in it than they were before. And so I got to think that at some point, I don't want to show up to the ballpark with 30,000 people and watch the Yankees.
Yeah, look, there's no guarantee when you go to the ballpark a team is going to win. But it is frustrating when in 14 games... of this 30,000 or more crowd going back to last season, and they've won four of those games. I mean, that's something where you have a casual fan that maybe last night was the only game they've gone to all year, and then that happens, you know, and it's happened for whatever reason a bunch of times when they've had some of their bigger crowds when there seems to be the most anticipation. That's when an egg tends to be laid. But what we saw last night is what has happened throughout the entire season. You know, you have an offense that continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. Yeah. That's been the theme of the... Nothing that happened last night is like a shocking development.
No.
Right? Now, maybe Noah Cameron, that was his worst outing that he's had. All right? And he gave up the home run right away to Aaron Judge. But offensively, last night, I've seen that game plenty of times this year. Seen that plenty of times. Hughes. Struggling to get the ball out of the infield. I mean, that was for the first couple innings, they couldn't get the ball out of the infield. It was ridiculous.
They just kept putting the ball on the ground. And now, Max Fried's really good, so I mean, that's
sure,
not crazy.
No doubt, but the problem is, like, Cody over the weekend against a couple no-name pitchers, the same struggles, you know? Max Fried will shut down a lot of teams, no doubt. He's one of the best odds getters right now for Cy Young over at FanDuel. I think he has the third best odds to do that. So he's great, but it could be random pitcher name, and that's happened. I mean, that's exactly what happened in Chicago, in fact, on Saturday, I think it was. In St. Louis. Dude. I mean, so it doesn't matter really who the pitcher is. They have struggled with runners in scoring position throughout the year. What is equally frustrating is that, look, nobody likes the Yankees, and they've won six straight against this team. We're going to get to Jazz Chisholm again a little bit later on, but this is a Yankees team that has owned them here recently, man. Six straight wins.
Is this the team we hate the most in baseball right now? Like, you'd think it'd be a divisional team.
Chisholm is probably the player I can't stand the most in baseball right now.
Which is probably helping. Yeah. We've both said that we think Aaron Judge is likable. And obviously, look, there's no shame in Noah Cameron giving up a 470-foot home run to Aaron Judge. He's really good. People are going to do that. You're going to make mistakes against a good offense. That's okay. Some of it's just being tired of the Yankees. I'm not, like... The Royals are still kind of who I think they are right now, which is their team that's probably going to go to the very end fighting for a playoff spot. Unless they get hot here pretty soon, they're probably going to be right near a playoff spot for a huge chunk of the year. Then we get to the playoffs, we'll see. You know, when pitching comes around, if you just get hot for a couple of weeks and hitting, the Diamondbacks had 86 wins and made it all the way to Game 7 of a World Series not that long ago, so you certainly can do that. And the Royals were not a good offensive team in 2014. So it's not that I can't find a way to say, here's how you get the wins. And I didn't think they were going to win last night. Let's just be very honest. Alex and I, before the show, were talking about Max Fried, Cameron. We kind of felt like it was the game that they were going to get got. We might have even said, this one feels bad on paper. You and I both were like, there's a part of this that, like, it doesn't feel right. The odds actually represent. Just in general, you and I were like, this doesn't feel like a good matchup tonight. And that's how we felt last night. Tonight? No, I feel way better about it. Not that Clark Schmidt hasn't been fine, but you've got your current ace on the mound. Not saying Cole Reagans isn't still your opening day starter or one of your most talented pitchers. Chris Bubich has been phenomenal. So go out there in the six games in a row against the Yankees, get a Jack Caglione home run, get a Vinny home run. He's been playing really well. Obviously, we mentioned since June 1st. Let's, you know, get one in the books so that last night's just kind of a wash away. Because bad games are sometimes easier to wash away. That's just a bad game. Every bloop hit landed. Every time they had a few runners on base, they hit a homer. And they had one of their aces on the mound in Max Fried, so they dominated, you know? How many fans do you think will be out at the K tonight?
Quite a dip from last night. I mean, last night was just over 30.
Last night, right?
30,000, like 17 or something was the announced attendance yesterday. We all mentioned what was going in. That weather was great. Weather will be still nice tonight, but you had Dollar Dog Night. You had CAG's home debut. I'm guessing it dips down to 25 or less.
Yeah, I think 23.
I think I saw the number. The media PR said 3,000 walk-up yesterday, or at least same day ticket purchase yesterday. I don't
think
they're going to have that
again. Jack Caglione. And again, I think Aaron Judge is a draw, you want to be honest. I think some people were in the text line were complaining about that, but that's what all sports need. Sports need players that people want to go see. Like in opposing towns, maybe the one Tennessee Titans game you go to this year is the one where Patrick Mahomes is going to play. And you know, like sports need draws. Aaron Judge is one of the few, very few, I think,
in baseball right now. Judge and Otani, probably about it for most people.
They're one and two. Bobby Wood Jr. maybe for some, but less across the league just because he plays in a smaller market. Otani, if he's pitching, for sure. But Otani, if he's hitting, by the way.
I mean, I think when the Dodgers come into town later this month, I think that's a draw. When you have the defending champs and you have Betts and you have Shohei Otani, I think that's a draw that gets people to the ballpark.
Yeah, I think so.
Some people still have never seen Otani play. They want to say they play. They watched one of the.
You went to the game last night. You watched Aaron Judge do something ridiculous.
No doubt.
You go to the Four Owls games, you'll watch Bobby Wood Jr. do ridiculous things. He does them, you know, 80% of the nights he's out at the ballpark. But yeah, I do think sports require, or it helps, because you're still rooting for your team, you're cheering for your team, but it's just another reason to go. Sometimes on June 11th in any given year, you're like, what am I doing? Going out to the ballpark tonight? Am I thinking, maybe? Am I going to spend the $20 to par? You him and haw. But then you're like, all right, I get to watch the team I love and the team I root for in the Royals, but also Aaron Judge might do something spectacular. That just helps. It helps bring people to the ballpark. And as you and I both know, because the Royals struggled a lot during our youth, there were a lot of people I grew up with who were Yankees fans, sadly. But because the Royals didn't have a lot to root for much of my early teenage years, Gold, and the Yankees were in the middle of the last probably baseball dynasty, although maybe the Astros count. They won quite a few here recently. But, you know, the dynasty of my youth, the New York Yankees, there were a lot of Yankees fans. A lot of Yankees fans at that time.
People are asking if we're going tonight. I'm not planning on going out there. Tonight. Are you going to go tonight?
I don't know.
I know you ended up having some stuff come up yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if you were going to go out.
I still want to, I'll tell you this. Be a Jack Caglione's first home run, you know?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that. I mean, tonight we're going to talk about Jazz Chisholm more a little bit later. Like, you know, people are talking about what if there's a brawl tonight and everything? This Royals team has not shown me any sign that they're actually willing to get in a fight like that. I mean, just be real. I haven't seen it. There have been multiple instances this year where you would like to see somebody stick up, you know, for a teammate. It hasn't happened. This is not saying they aren't close and all that. I'm not alleging that at all. But when India gets spiked, when he gets Class A thrown towards his head, when now Jazz Chisholm last night says he's going to smack the you-know-what out of Michael Garcia, now maybe they didn't hear that last night until after the game, so let's see what happens. But I haven't seen anybody that's willing to step up and back up their teammate the way we would have seen in 14 and 15. That's all.
Plunk someone tonight, and I do think some people are coming off the bench.
Yes.
And if you plunk Jazz, he's going to take a couple steps to the mound, and then a lot of people are going to come off the bench. We might get someone out of the bullpen in that scenario, which is, what I want tonight.
Absolutely. I think in a weird way it needs to happen. It doesn't mean that suddenly they're going to start playing better baseball. I'm not acting like, but by the way, sometimes it does bring the group closer.
I think it stands out more that you're saying, because I've said that they should be fighting for years. I constantly want fights. So I'm a little bit of the boy who cried wolf. Sometimes Gold, you're like, they don't have to fight all the time. And even you're like, no, there's a point, like I said earlier.
It's because
there's a point where you got to stand on business. And they're treating you like a child. And you can't keep letting them treat you like they don't respect you. Yeah. They're treating you like they don't respect you.
And
saying I'll smack him if he tries to tag me like that one more time. Okay, let's put it to a test.
I just haven't seen, and I hope I'm wrong, I haven't seen anything from this group going back to last year. Also, maybe just how they go about, like Matt Quatrero, his personality as well, to suggest that this is a team that's going to go and start something. Or back something up in terms of what we're discussing in this regard. I hope I'm wrong, because I would love to see it. We'll talk to Vern about this, our Royals insider, coming up next right here on Cody and Gold. All right, coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. But let's keep talking some Royals baseball. They continue their series tonight at the K against the New York Yankees. Obviously, last night was the home debut and everything for Cags. Now it's just baseball the rest of the way. Maybe you're waiting for that first Cags home run. But last night, was a lot like what we've seen for much of the season. Runners in scoring position, failure to execute, and that continued. Then you got Jazz Chisholm adding to it as well. Let's welcome in Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Let me just start with the game, then we can get to maybe the Jazz Chisholm stuff. But I know it was Max Fried, who's obviously one of the best pitchers in baseball. But what we saw last night, that's happened 100 times, I feel like, this season.
Yeah, being carved up by the opposing pitcher. Yeah, the fact that it's Max Fried is the only saving grace I had last night on the postgame show. The fact that there are two more games with the New York Yankees, because losing in that fashion again to that team, really there's two ways to go with this. One, losing in that fashion again to that team, dating back to when Jazz Chisholm said, hey, they got lucky with their Game 2 victory in New York. Everything that we've seen since points to the Royals got lucky in New York with that Game 2 victory. They've lost six straight to the Yankees and have been outplayed in every single facet in all six games. So that's frustrating. But also, losing in that fashion, being carved up by an opposing pitcher on a good team. I mean, look at what the Royals have been doing at home. You know, they have this road trip where they go 3-3. And much like last night's loss, you know, perspective kind of calmed me down, knowing that there are two more games. You could still win this series. It was Max Fried. You know, a 3-3 road trip, for as agitating as that Chicago series was, it's still a 500 road trip. So that perspective kind of calmed me down back on Sunday, because the old adage is go 500 on the road, win your series at home, and you're going to find yourself in October, especially now with the additional teams, the additional wild card spots. The issue is the Royals aren't winning at home. Yeah, they started off gangbusters at Kauffman Stadium, but they just lost a series to Detroit at home, which to me ended their hopes for the division title. They lose to Cincinnati. They lose to the Cardinals. They lose to the Red Sox. The last team they beat in a series at Kauffman Stadium was the Chicago White Sox. So those two things together, losing to that team and losing to another good team and setting yourself up to possibly lose another series to a good team, add it all up, and it was a frustrating night.
I think a lot of it with the Yankees for me, Vern, is they don't respect the Royals. They treat them like they treat them like they don't respect them. And that's fine. Like you're saying, like, hey, they don't have any reason to have earned their respect yet. But that's
Cody,
also
now
they're
trying to beat them mentally.
Yeah.
They beat them in every single facet. Now they're trying to test Michael and going to see if actions speak louder than words, or if you're going to allow words to dictate your actions on the field. Because if we're being serious, Jazz isn't the villain. If you look at everything that's happened between these two teams the past two seasons, it's Anthony Volpe. He's the only one that actually did something on the field, had an action towards a Royals player, as he gave Michael that forearm in game four and then pushed him towards the dugout and started sunning him by patting him on the back. I can't believe, and I said it after the game, I can't believe Michael showed the restraint to not haul off on Anthony Volpe. To me, he's the villain. Let Jazz talk, man. That type of talk is honestly what makes the NBA entertaining. It's nice to have some of that talk in Major League Baseball.
It's nice to have it, but I mean, throughout this season, Vern, whether it was Jonathan India getting spiked by Contreras, whether it was India getting thrown near the head with Clase.
Those are actions. I'm with you.
Yeah, yes. I was like, at some point, though, and maybe this team, going back to last year as well, that's just not who they are. Their manager, that's not who Quintero is either, and that's just who they, like, that's what I think has annoyed some fans, is when are you going to stick up for yourself? Yeah, go win baseball games, sure, but I mean, at some point, I'd be wondering who's going to not let this continue to happen.
No, you're right, but I don't think this falls under the same category as what happened with Wilson Contreras and India at second base, or Emmanuel Clase in India at the dish. To me, this is just chirping. This is after game, and it was so obvious Jazz didn't watch the play. There's nothing Michael did wrong, even if the throw was high. I mean, the throw took him right into the helmet, but even if the throw was high and he laid that tag on his head strong, that's good baseball. That's what you're supposed to do. Think twice next time you slide head first. So no matter what happened, Jazz is wrong and he didn't see the replay. But I don't think this is the instance where I want to see these guys coming out tonight ready to scrap. Win a freaking game, you know, end the losing streak to the New York Yankees. If you want to show your toughness, you had a chance against the Cardinals. You've already seen Cleveland again since that altercation, or since Class A went up and in back-to-back pitches on Jonathan India. They've had their chance, but sure, Matt Quatrero isn't a guy that's flipping the spread, telling everybody we're going to kill him tonight. But Salvi isn't either. If you go back to the Wilson Contreras play, there were a few guys. I mean, Vinny came over in kind of a rush. And, yeah. You know, there were a few guys that were down to do something if it popped off. And Salvi, who is the idol of so many, especially foreign ball players, they see the big number 13 coming towards them, and Contreras started apologizing right away. Salvi has a way of, you know, calming the fires. And listen, if you're Bob, if you're Vinny, if you're Freddie, if you're really anybody else on this team, if Salvi's not agitated and ready to throw, I'm taking my cues from him unless I lose my head. Mikel has the ability to lose his head, and that's why I think it's, I don't think it was calculated, but it's not a bad idea if you're the Yankees to try and tick that dude off, because right now he's their number three hitter, one of their most consistent hitters. If you can get in his head and allow your words to dictate his actions, man, you might sweep this series like you did the last one.
Knowing what we've seen now, we've got a full week of Jack Caglione play. We got to see his home debut last night. I guess first, what did you think of the home debut, the scene, I guess, as it relates to it, but what have you made of his play now that we've gotten a week in the bigs?
Yeah, he's everything you had hoped. I mean, body language-wise, confidence-wise, the way that he carries himself before the game, during the game, after the game.
It's hard.
The at-bats, he's you know, anything but timid. You know, he's not letting these opposing pitchers undress him. If you give him something to hit, he's attacking it. And there may not have been a more impressive at-bat than the one that he came through last night, his first ever AB at Kauffman Stadium last night. You know, the only thing you can't do is punch out in that spot, right? First and third with one out, you got to put the ball in play. He did. A sinker running in. He's able to fight it off, hit it to the right side. That's the thing. Those are the type of things that this team has been missing. Allowing the scoreboard to dictate your approach. Just do what the game dictates, and Cags did just that. So everything I had hoped to see from him in the first week, he's done it. In fact, he's looked even better in right field than I expected him to look. So it's, you know, great hustle on that three-run bomb last night off of the bat of Austin Wells. He goes up on the fence, had no chance of catching it, but you love to see the effort. So, no, 5 stars across the board for Jack Caglione.
I'm glad you brought up the right field play, because that was talked about a little bit. Was that just, hey, no man's land, but also when you had India playing second with a slower Salvador Perez playing first, and then, you know, a guy that still is inexperienced right field, that somebody needed to, yeah, to take charge there? What did you see on those three? I guess it was three instances.
Yeah, the first one I thought India needed to take charge, need to understand who's in right field, don't expect it. Now, normally that would be the right fielder, right?
Sure.
You're waiting for the right fielder to call you off, but India understands who's out there. I would have liked to seen him take charge on the first. Jason Dominguez, Dying Quail in right field. The next two, to me, those were no man's land. Now, if you have an above-average first baseman, an above-average second baseman, or an above-average right fielder, maybe all three of them are caught. I still think those final two fall. But if there's a triangle of deficient defenders, it's that triangle right there with Cags, India, and Salvi. Salvi might be the best of the bunch, honestly, at their respective positions.
How early do you think the Royals will entertain trade conversations, just knowing that they still have some work to do on the offensive end? And or do they just have to wait, Vern, because they want to know where they are 5 weeks from now, right? It's, if they're 5 games out of a playoff spot, maybe they treat it different than today, where they're a game and a half out of one.
I don't think you can't call up Jack Caglione and wave a white flag at any point. Again, to me, the next 5.5 years, it's go time. It's, yes, the expectation is a world title, but the floor is the postseason. So, no, man, because what you're seeing of late is, you know, the Royals have lost 8 of their last 9 games when they've been favored. The reason why they're favorites is because their pitching staff is normally superior to the opposition. The reason why you're losing so many games that you're favored in is because this pitching staff that has dragged you to a winning record is no longer capable or healthy enough to do that, right? Erceg back tonight. We're still waiting to see the classic Reagans and the classic Lugo. I don't know anybody that's still holding their breath about Hunter Harvey. So it's a different looking pitching staff than it was in April in the first half of May. And I think you're seeing, I don't even want to call it regression from the pitching staff, because it's still one of the best in the American League. It's just not good enough to carry, as we started with, not a lifeless offense, but a clutchless offense. And so as that's only going to continue, even if the offense starts to improve in those clutch situations, how much better is this rotation going to get? I feel like what they are right now, which is good, very good, at times great, but likely to settle in that very good category. Man, you got three teams right now you need to jump to even grab that final American League wild card spot. So, hey, if you can find that bat on a bench or in a AAA roster somewhere that you think is the offensive equivalent of Cole Reagans or Lucas Erceg, pull the trigger ASAP, because time's slipping away, man. I know we still have half of the season, but half of the American League has a better record than you.
Vern, we get to the important stuff on this show as well. Fair or foul, is Mahomes allowed to wear a jersey with his name on it at a Royals game?
Fair, very much fair. And
thank
I always,
you.
Whenever I see that, I always think of Whit Merrifield, because Merrifield, all he did was work his freaking tail off for this franchise on awful teams. Patrick Mahomes shows up and takes his number. I mean, when you see number 15 jerseys around Kauffman Stadium, even when Witt was still here, it was Mahomes and not Merrifield. And then Bobby shows up and steals his freaking name. So he loses number 15 and his name, Witt, to Bobby. And then we kick him out of town and say, you never loved us, because he wouldn't take the shot. It was a tough thing for Merrifield.
Damn. I mean, that's exactly right, though, Vern. That's exactly right. I was going to ask you, though, about last night and Mahomes being there. Can you remember in your years for a non-World Series or a non-playoff game having Brett, Reggie Jackson, Carlton, and Mahomes, like that kind of crowd?
Billy
from
Butler.
Billy Butler, George Karloftis. Like, can you remember that kind of crowd for a regular season game on a Tuesday night?
No, Annie Rogers of MLB.com made the point in the press box, it feels like Dodger Stadium out here at Kauffman Stadium. I mentioned as much to John Sherman as he was making his way out of the ballpark last night, and he quickly flashed me a baseball that Reggie Jackson signed for him.
Nice.
Reggie offered
everyone's
it
still
up
a fan,
to,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. That was a pretty neat scene watching those two fake fight in the owner's suite.
Yeah,
now, it
yeah.
was a great night, but to me it was completely sullied by the finish, because this isn't 2019. This isn't 2022. We have real expectations of getting to October and doing some real damage, but last night was a reminder of, man, this right now is lucky to finish the way that it did a season ago.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll be listening tonight.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Vern's On Deck show tonight, 5:30, Game 2, Royals-Yankees out at Kauffman Stadium right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Cruz, Chris Bubich. Also, I saw that Aaron Judge is hitting 460 in the first inning, so maybe tread lightly there. He has a 1,600 OPS in the first inning. It is the highest since Mark McGwire in the year 2000.
Jeez.
So maybe just tread lightly. Hell, just walk his ass in the first inning.
Because they struck him out twice. No, Cameron ended up striking out twice, but that first home run again, it's still, I don't think I'll ever forget that home run now. Everybody has that, like, regular season game.
I'm still mentioning a Willie Mopena one. It wasn't Aaron Judge.
I have not. I mean, one, it was Aaron Judge, so that also adds to it, right? Yeah. You don't see Aaron Judge maybe play all that often if you're in Kansas City, but if you go to a game, but to see him play and then just destroy a baseball to the top of the Hall of Fame. I'll remember that one forever. That was crazy last night.
Yeah. And I get where Vern's saying, like, hey, you don't need to start a fight tonight. Prove that you can win. But like, I don't know. I feel like you do. Like
his
the
line,
way they're treating you. Like, my line is I'm like there. Physical things have happened. And if like one more physical, they hit your guy.
Yeah.
They slide dirty, rough tag. Like if it's a set off, it does feel like you have to like stand up for yourself.
Yeah. You and I are on the same page. I think Vern, he was drawing a line of like action versus words. Like, hey, if
a lot of people can just say things.
If,
sure.
If they hit you tonight or it seems something fishy was, you know, that he wants the action, but it's the word stuff is not enough. I'm with you though, where I've lumped this last night into the others.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, all right, well, what are you guys going to do?
They've already done the action. Now they keep talking the trash. Yeah, and I get it. Jazz is not the – Volpe was the one who started the physical confrontation. He's the one who's done more of the talking and less of the action. But still, I'm kind of with you. I'm ready for it.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show all 4 hours every day. Maybe you're a single lady looking to see what Alex looks like. That is available over on the video chat.
Not shaving today. I'm lazy today. I did not shave this morning.
I still think the beard looks good. So, yeah, there's ladies who will like it. This is just being lazy today.
I did not shave this morning.
Sure, it's not like a full beard, but like you could see the makings of what a beard would look like.
Yeah.
If you're interested over on the YouTube channel, like and subscribe so you can pop to the top of the feed. See it over there. This question today comes via a viral tweet. Okay. And I'm curious whether or not this is a show you would actually watch. Somebody sent out a suggestion for a show, and I want to know you two, as sports fans, if this is a show you would consume if it were, like, let's say once a week. The tweet says, Nick Saban should do what Gordon Ramsay does on Kitchen Nightmares, but for struggling college football
programs. I saw this.
So Nick Saban shows up to Kansas football, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? This is your practice schedule? What am I looking at here? This is how you talk to recruits? And essentially the version of the show is he goes to mediocre or struggling college football programs and he mocks them for all the terrible ways in which they go about business. Is that a show you would consume?
I mean, as a consumer, yes, there's no way that the colleges would allow it, but I would love it as just a viewer. Oh, the entertainment factor would be great. Yes.
The number one team in the team for this year would be Kent State.
Would that show work?
100%.
If the schools agreed,
would people tune in to Nick Saban rolling into Kent State watching them like go through the whiteboard plan for what, or watching the quarterback? And it's like, this is the best dude you got?
Here's what you're doing
wrong. You might want to go find a JUCO kid first.
It would work
for the same reasons that like
he's got to body bag him though.
I mean, last chance you worked with Wacko as the head coach or whatever. So this would work.
I would be all for, even if it's just 1 year, because the team this year that would happen is Kent State, because they went 0-12 last year, just fired the coach. That's his alma mater, Coach Saban.
Oh my God, it's perfect. He's got to bury his own alma mater.
It would be fantastic. As a college football fan, I think that would be must see television.
Who would be the worst like Power Five schools this year? Rutgers? Where else can he go?
No. It's not Rutgers anymore. I know we throw a lot of shade at them.
Lowest hanging fruit, you know?
Yes, it's not Rutgers anymore. It's not even Vanderbilt anymore. It'd be Mississippi State probably, based on
Vanderbilt
where they finished
last
year.
Vanderbilt won a bowl game last year, right?
Vandy made it to a bowl game, yeah. And
beat Bama.
Yes, that's very true.
Purdue
and Mississippi State are the two ones.
Purdue was 1-11 last year.
Purdue hired Barry Odom from UNLV. It's a really good hire. Anyways.
Barry Odom?
Yeah, remember
his old friend?
Well, yeah, because he had a great year with UNLV and then he bailed.
Purdue or Mississippi State would be the two that I would nominate.
Mm-hmm. What's that, Drew?
Purdue or Mississippi State would be the two that I'd nominate.
Yeah, Stanford. The show would be a lot of fun.
Stanford would be a really good one because they stink.
Just a shame none of the schools would.
They haven't been good since Harbaugh's really been the coach, because David Shaw kind of took over all of what Harbaugh did. David Shaw inherited it, then it kind of fell apart.
I think he's kind of onto something here, like because. And honestly, this
is
just
the concept of it.
The reality of like more football people doing media. So like, for instance, I saw Bill Belichick say, we're used to off-season distractions. And somebody's like, yeah, not from you. I'm sure you're used to dealing with players causing an off-season distraction. Yeah. You, the head coach and the face of the program, aren't normally the distraction. Honestly, why? Like if you're the schools, other than it's mocking you, these businesses that do bad business, you would think being on Kitchen Nightmares might actually bring some people to your business, because he's going to help. He's going to help your struggling business, right? He's going to help make things better. He's going to help. Like, if you're a university, Kent State, you could use some Nick Saban advice, okay?
You could use
a little advice from Nick Saban. And he went to your school.
He played there, yeah, everything.
Stanford, you could use a little advice.
You said Gordon Ramsay, but just, yeah, Bar Rescue with John Taffer, same thing.
Same concept.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be... You're already getting embarrassed enough as it is. Why not have Nick Saban come in and actually try to solve the problem?
Yeah, it's actually more like Bar Rescue than it is even Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, it's actually Bar Rescue or Restaurant Impossible when that show is around.
Yeah, you make it more like he's trying to help you. Sometimes the people are idiots and won't listen to the advice, but you're actively trying to help, right? Versus Kitchen Nightmares, where he's like, this is trash. What is this garbage?
Yeah, it would be fascinating
to see. He's just burying you. He's trying to help.
The closest thing we have is Last Chance U with the JUCO schools. That's honestly, like, that's the closest thing we have.
I don't think Coach Saban obviously would never do it. I don't think it ever is just, it would never be a thing.
Yeah, it's fun to think about. I think we all recognize it would never happen, but it would be a pretty entertaining thing to watch.
It'd be a fun show to watch. And this doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be Nick Saban. You think about how many sports this would work with, like retired coaches going. But the problem is, like, in the NFL, like the guys who were gone 5 years ago, I don't actually respect. Like, I know Nick Saban could take over any college football program right now, and they would immediately be successful. He would make Kent State better if he was their head coach tomorrow.
Well, of course.
He wouldn't compete for a national championship, but they'd be infinitely better.
Yeah. What's the name of this show, if we were to name it? There's one that came to mind for me. It's the playoff, the conference realignment, but it's program realignment with Nick Saban.
Okay, there you go.
You know,
I would think you could just call it something simple like Call the Goat. Hey, we need to call the goat to come and fix our problem.
The show is called Call the Goat.
Call the Goat. Program rescue. What version of it do you go with?
Call the Goat, and the opening scene is, this is Coach Saban. Hey, Coach. Call the Goat.
Saban calling the head coach of Kent State being like, decided to come take
saw you guys struggle to win a few football games last year.
He's going over tape with the quarterback. And he's
I'm saying,
this is embarrassing.
Coach Saban could do his own thing. The school calls and say, hey, Coach, I'm begging you at this point. We're begging you.
We need some outside help.
The funniest part
Can you and Miss Terry come up to Kent, Ohio?
Yeah, the ego is right.
Can you and Miss Terry come up to live in Kent, Ohio for 6 months?
Jeez.
And save our season.
Oh, man, it's one season per team. That'd be even crazier. Can Nick Saban turn around Kent State just an advisor? He's just sitting in on the meetings, bearing the quarterback. Like, what read were you even looking
now
at?
Now Cody's turning it into like a HGTV show, like Love It or List It. But like, do you want to stay as the head coach of this program? Or do you want to go somewhere else?
We've turned the program around.
Do you want to stay here? Do you want to try for another job?
Now with all the NIL stuff,
it's a combination of shows.
Kent State wouldn't have the money to get the recruits in. But if you did this, if this was 10 years ago, pre-NIL, and Saban went to Kent State before the portal or anything opened, I guarantee you they win a bowl game. I would guarantee it in one season.
I would guarantee that.
You'd almost have to announce the schools ahead of time because, like, just getting the recruits would make the team better and it would make it seem like Saban was.
But I think that's the point is you're not allowed to. You have to jump in when like the recruiting season has already ended.
That would be a hell of a truly coach.
Because if you let them recruit, if everybody gets wind that there's a TV show and Nick Saban's involved, then Kent State is going to get better recruits that year.
They're immediately going to be better.
Speaking real quick, we've been talking about the house settlement stuff. I don't know if you guys saw this, but an hour ago, there's a group of female athletes who are planning to file a lawsuit against the house settlement.
The first of many.
It's not officially filed, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's
going
to be a bunch of lawsuits related to the house settlement. There's no doubt about that. All right, up next, 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk more about Noah Cameron, who, of course, pitched last night. Not his best outing by any means, but now what do we think about the future for him in 2025? And somebody got secretly married, and we still don't know to who.